You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for that introduction, Pastor. And I don't know, I got a little nervous when you were talking about that artist and stuff in the beginning and how people would feel about things, and now I'm here, and I have the critic sitting in the audience with me, so it made me a little nervous, but it's all good, and as the pastor said, this is all about the Lord. It's not about any one of us, and I really look forward to the times to be able to share with you in these times. So I'd like to just start with having this privilege and this time with you this morning as far as just a brief moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here together this bright and beautiful morning. It's wonderful to have a place of peace that we can meet to praise and worship you, and now to meditate on your word. I just ask that you clear our hearts, minds of the things that take us off focus of you, and ask that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth are acceptable unto you. And then when we depart here today, that your spirit resides in us, and that when we encounter the world this week and the weeks to come, that we glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to just maybe start this morning with maybe an apology to my Faith Church family. I recently posted a Facebook post in praise of my last year of healing. My last radiation treatment was Monday. And I kind of realized after the fact, after posting it, you know, you always hit that post button and then you always think, oh. But I realized I didn't call Faith Church out by name. But you are truly my dear, dear church family, and has been a big part of my strength and support through this last year. It's the reason why I'm standing here this morning. Is that it's through your unending prayer and support that has kept things going. And that's God working through everything. And I have to say that there is a great love here in this church family. And we don't have far to go to really reach out to those around us with that love and really truly show what God can do in each and every one of our lives. So that's part of falling right into our great commission and the insurance of Christ in us to reach others. I'd like to start, if you have your blue outline in your bulletins, there is an outline in there of what I'll be speaking upon today. But when reading through Matthew 28, and looking at this first division, God's first calling, and you think first calling, I'm thinking of it as a calling that we first get that inkling towards something. So let's just take a look at the first two verses there, 16 and 17. And those words, as Linda shared with us, were, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So today, it's a look at reaching others for Jesus Christ. And I basically just summed it all up in one sentence there through all these verses from verse 16 to 20. But breaking this down, as we are here in our first division, I have two things to look at to maybe help us relate to this story as far as reaching out to others. First is our scripture. Understand this section of scripture takes place right after Christ has risen from the grave. Mary Magdalene was the first to find him. She went on to tell the disciples. And we see the risen Lord had made himself presence with the disciples and believers. When he was rose and he sat with them, he ate with them. But notice what the scripture said says here. He says, they went and they were obedient, You know, they responded right away. They went to the mountain. They worshiped him. And that's reverence, and that's respect for our Lord. But the word we might run right over is that some doubted. And that just shows the human side of who we are. What's truly amazing is, as I said, this is the physical Lord. This is the Lord, the risen Lord in physical form. And they still had doubts. So having doubts is a normal thing. But it's their faith that took them there, and they worshiped. So if I say something to you this morning, it's don't get hung up on the doubts. It's keeping our eyes on Christ in all things. Those who were with him every day for 3 years saw him put to death, and then he was saw him rise, and they still had doubts. If that is the case, we will definitely still have doubts. The key is not to get hung up on that. That's where they were. It's where we are. A second item, like I want you to help relate to this, is that we always think that we got to be this special person in a special way to be a disciple. What is that special? What is special is that the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us as believers. You may say, no way. Well, in Genesis, and I'm going back to Genesis. I'm not going back to Pentecost. I'm going to Genesis, and it says, we were created in our image, a plural. God was referring to the Father himself, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which we also see Jesus in all his authority, which we will go into some of that a little bit later, but claims that our power is in the Trinity. You have that power given to you by God, for God. Jesus promised this when he was ascending, that he would send his Spirit to us. You may say, what power is that for the faith, for that is power for a faithful disciple? Didn't we just say there was doubt? But realize who God uses. We heard a little bit about this in the video previous, but I just want to read you a quick list of some people in the Bible and some of their characteristics. Jacob, he was a cheater. Peter was a tempter and had doubts, obviously. We saw that on the night of the trials. David had an affair and was a murderer. Noah was a drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Mary Magdalene, the first one to see the risen Lord, was a prostitute. Moses stuttered and didn't want to have nothing to do with delivering the people from Egypt. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. Can God use us? Absolutely. There's a song that was put out by Casting Crowns recently, and it's called Nobody. And it says, some of the chorus in it is, I'm a nobody telling everybody about a somebody who saved me. I think that sums it up for us as far as what we're being, how God is calling us, right here, to be able to fulfill this great commission. And he was calling his disciples to do the same things. So who are we? It's not who we say we are. It is what or who God says we are. We heard that in this video prior at the offertory. Another song that's very close to my heart, too, that you may be familiar with is Lauren Daigle's song of You Say. Powerful lyrics. Something that hits me every time I hear it. And I'll just read some of them to you. She starts out, I keep fighting with voices in my head, saying that I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. I am more than just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I cannot feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I am weak. You say I'm held when I am falling apart or falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say that I am yours, and I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you, I find my worth. In you, I find my identity. Faith Church, that is the key, is finding your identity in Christ. Your identity. All those other things matter not. He has forgiven you. Forgiven you. Find your identity in Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Don't put your eyes on me. Don't put your eyes even on Pastor Brett. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That is where you will find your identity. That's what led the disciples to that mountain that morning. That's what led them to that place to where they worshiped. They had doubts. They had their faults. They were imperfect, but they went. They went to that mountaintop. So what is our response? Do we respond and still keep on holding on to those doubts and fears? Here's some acronyms for fear that maybe you've already heard. Fear, the false evidence appearing real. Or you could have forget everything and run. Or face everything and rise. I choose the latter. We respond in faith. Faith that God empowers us. God claims our heart. God calms our hearts. God places the focus to us to what is important. And what needs to be said and what needs to be done. God provides what is needed. My principle in this first division area, and you'll see on your outline, is our faith in God is not measured by the world's standards. You see, God had a plan from the beginning. That plan was creation. But in creation, there was the fall, and that was our human side. That's where we fall short. Kind of falls together a little bit, doesn't it? But God had in the plan of redemption, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. And we all kind of got that in our mind. The part that we struggle with is the restoration. That's the tail end of the plan. The restoration comes after the redemption. And we got to convince ourselves, and that's why our eyes are on Christ. We got to get through that doubt, that fear, and move forward and understand that we're in a part of restoration. And that's part of our call in this commission. It's the restoration of not only ourselves, but our fellow man. The world's plan is for our personal gain and control and to find the fulfillment in that self. It's a satisfying process which never works because it's part of the fall. You see, that's how Adam and Eve fell. They fell for that desire of themselves. The only true fulfillment is our purpose or our plan for all of us and to be with God and with Christ. It's first redemption, then restoration, as I said, found only in Jesus Christ. So the application would truly be on how do we respond to this first call, this first cry out from the Lord, from you to move to something. A call that he's calling us all to. As I said, it's faith. And it matters not where we are or where we're going. It's a matter of how we're focusing ourselves. Is it on the doubts? Is it on our imperfect actions? Or is it on Christ? Is the action of what we do always being seen? Sometimes not. But we have to understand that we have to understand what and why things are happening and the way they are. In the sense of that, we're not in control of things. God is, but we have to put our part to it. The disciples just saw Jesus scourged and crucified, put to death. Then they saw him, they just saw him eat and spoke to him. None of this makes sense to them. I could understand why they have doubts. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us today. But my friends, it's all in faith. It comes down to that faith. So let's try to peel that apart a little bit farther and understanding where that faith lies. That leads us into our second division. The second division is Jesus' authority verses 18 and 19. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We see a very definitive statement by Jesus, authority over all. Authority is given or granted by others. So a definition is the power which a person or a group possesses and practices over another, which is dependent upon the acceptance by the subordinates of the right of those above them to give them orders or directives. Now, that was a little long statement there as far as a definition. But with Jesus, again, we are faced to what do we believe? Do we believe the testimony of all the people through all the ages? Do we truly believe the word of God? There's a lot of arguments there, and I'm not going to peel into a lot of those things. But maybe I can try to express of how I came to faith, an understanding of where I have the acceptance as Jesus' authority over all. I was born into the church. I was brought up in the church. And it wasn't until I was 30 years of age where I actually accept Jesus Christ in my heart and soul. I had that positive environment, but I seen things in my time. And once I became a believer of Christ in my heart of hearts, I seen my son Tyler cured from a 25% chance of living, where there was no real answers coming. I saw as a child my grandmother Becker, who used to reside in corners in her house, and I actually thought at one time she was losing her marbles, but I hear her mumbling in the corner. And when I got a little bit older, I realized she was talking to Jesus because I heard certain things she was saying. I didn't understand it, really, at that point. She died when I was in high school, and it was a weird circumstance. She had fallen. She was in the hospital, and she was one where she never wanted to burden anybody with anything. And I know her prayer to the Lord was, because she had that relationship, is to take her so she would not be a burden. I knew that was her prayer. We had gone in to see her on a Sunday right after church, and my whole family was there. Now, my grandmother was very hard of hearing. She could barely see. But that day when we were all walking in that room, she heard every word we were saying. There was nothing that had to be spoken loudly. She saw everyone that was coming in and was naming them as they were coming into the room. And I truly believe to this day that the Lord, because of the relationship she had with her, that with Jesus Christ at that time, gave her the sight and hearing for one last time with us to be with her, because she passed the next morning. That afternoon was our time to be with our grandmother one more time here before she passed on. And that resided with me for a long, long time. And then I also see what has happened to me, the wretch of a person that I've been. And there'll be time maybe somewhere where I'll give away all those juicy little secrets, but it won't be today. But of where I've seen I've been and to where I've come, and I got a so much farther way to go. But it's through my relationship through Jesus Christ. And it's those convictions. Those are just some of them. And I'm sure the disciples felt the same way as far as this movement and seeing how Christ moved in their lives in a physical way, where ours is more of a spiritual way. And I see disciples, which became the apostles, which gave their life, fortune, everything to proclaim the gospel of a Nazarene carpenter. That just blows me away. And does that make sense to anybody? And then you look at Paul. Paul, who was Saul, killing Christians to be changed by just an encounter with an ascended Lord on the way to Damascus. And he winds up being the forefront leader of the New Testament in letters and missionary trips. How does that happen? That doesn't make sense in the normal world. Paul gave up everything. He gave up comfort, fortune, fame, just a great place of living, held up in society, to a place of where he was persecuted, beaten, didn't know where he was going to be living from day to day, being jailed, and then eventually put to death. It's not quite sure. There's nothing in Scripture that says exactly what his death was. They believe he might have been beheaded under Emperor Nero. But none of this makes any kind of sense. But it helps reassure me to the authority of who Jesus Christ is. Then the Bible in itself is written by many and confirmed by many in sources we see continued accuracy of how accurate the Bible is through different things such as the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there's more and more artifacts and scientific studies coming forth just proving the truth of the written word. And the most convincing thing to me is if you're going to sell something to somebody, sell a story to somebody, sell a way to somebody, you would have all the good things in there, right? Just like we'd see in a political campaign. You always talk about the positives, the goods, the best, the things that they did. All the positives is not the negatives. But the Bible talks about stories of lowly people, all their faults, how they failed, how they continued to fail to meet God's standards, and all that just shows a higher conviction of truth behind the word, that this to me is convincing that Jesus Christ is above all, in all. The final point I would have to make towards Christianity, just to try to keep moving forward, is Christianity, above all other faiths, is based upon grace and not works of man. Christianity is God himself descended from heaven to become man, to live our life here on earth, to know all that we endure, then endure suffering and death, to rise again in a final sacrifice for our sins, our shortfalls. We do nothing but choose to accept the gift given. There is no other faith based upon God himself being the perfect sacrifice. It is not about us, it's about him, Jesus Christ. That is what true authority is. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were all part of creation. Jesus was the redemption. God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, are always part of the restoration. So authority given to Jesus is over heaven and earth and life and over death. We are then to make disciples of Christ. Of all, not some, not a few, but all. It's not necessarily who we're comfortable with or not who it's convenient with, but all. This does mean all around the world, but I feel that this call for that ministry, I do feel is up to reach right here in our neighborhoods, the people who we are in contact with on a daily basis, the people right around us. Does that mean tomorrow morning you run into your coworker and start reading scriptures to them? I would maybe hold on that a little bit. I mean, if they're open to it, have at it. But let's just try to take a little look, too, here at what a disciple is. The word disciple means to learn or to be a pupil or a follower. Discipleship, I believe, is an ongoing process along with sanctification. And sanctification is a process of us becoming more Christ-like. It's a process over a lifetime. And we are to call to become more, bring more people to the relationship that we understand in Christ. It's a constant process. If we look at Peter and Paul, they were in many discussions over matter of faith as they were developing as disciples themselves. The main point I want you to know, to leave here today with, is to build relationships. That's truly what it's all about. You know, our relationship is first with God, then with others. We know that in the commandment Jesus gave. Love God with your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. And I've said this before, it's just the Ten Commandments broken down to two. In the Ten Commandments, the first four are about loving God, the last six are about loving your neighbor. So start earning the right to speak truth into the lives of others, and then they can choose it or not. I'm going to say that again, because it's an important phrase. Start by earning the right to speak truth into the lives of others, and then they can choose it or not. Ultimately, it's their choice. But start with humility and honesty. Come alongside of them, having a genuine concern, caring, or love for them. Remember, our motivation comes from, and this is something Pastor Brett shared a while back with us and with myself, is we do because he did. That phrase stuck with me for a long time, Pastor. We do because he did. Remember, it's about what Jesus did for us, forgiving us, that redemption and restoration. Our refocus program here focused us to keep our eyes on Christ. And let us do that. Let's not just say it. Let's do it. And how did Jesus make disciples? He met them where they were. He found an issue in time and conversation as far as what needed to be brought out, although you know he knew, but we see in Scripture he has this conversation dialogue going on. He was honest. Sometimes it was tough to hear, but it was in love. Now, Jesus usually operated fairly quickly. Paul, it was much the same. His focus was on discipleship. The New Testament is littered with Paul's disciples, as Timothy, Barnabas, Apollos, Lydia, Priscilla, and many more. And Paul's teaching could be tough, but it was universal, it was complete, but it flowed from humility. He had gratitude, grace, and love. What I love to see here today is when we leave, we leave knowing that you're going to establish a relationship with whomever you meet. It could be simply as just holding a door, saying hello, talking over, pouring a coffee at the Wawa, you know, anything. Somebody, somewhere. Then maybe somebody, possibly at work, maybe going through a tough spot. And you ask them, tell them, I'll be praying for you. I had a gentleman at work, a coworker. He had some things going on between his work status and some things at home, some health. And one day, just in casual, I sent him a text message. It wasn't even a face-to-face. Now, I don't recommend the text, but it was at the point in time, I just felt moved to do something right away. And I'm like, I'll be praying for you. And almost instantly, right back, he kind of put a long phrase back to me saying about how he really appreciated that. And he, you know, couldn't believe that. And I just say that because it opens a door to a conversation that could lead something to something farther. And it's just by a simple action. I don't quite know where his faith is, but it's a point of where something started. Then maybe there's someone that you have a closer relationship with, and maybe it's taking the time, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee, you know, and you just sit down and you start having a casual conversation. It could be about anything, but you start talking and you share, and your actions and your words will start leading them towards to where you are, and you're sharing part of your story, your life with them, and that's as Christ weaved an in and out of it, and then it starts becoming easier, and it's not a hesitation, and it's not a burden, and it's not something difficult to work upon. You're just being you. I have another co-worker. It was a situation that dealing with some status and pay raise, and he was conferring with me of how I viewed things and so on and so forth, and I just shared with him briefly. I said, because of where I am in my faith with my Lord, I said, I take a lot of things to prayer and discernment time over it. And I said, I don't know where you are, but I would, you know, maybe recommend that. Take some time and discern over it. Pray about it. Now, I don't know where he was in faith either, but he went on to tell me how he really appreciated me just being honest and open with them. And they know where I am. And there was a time where that wasn't true. They didn't know where I was. But hopefully I'm the same person now here at church I am in my workplace and in my place at home. So those are some examples. Another great example is D.L. Moody did much of the same. If you know his story, he spent a lot of time in Chicago, and he wanted to reach the younger generation. So he'd offer pony rides to get them to Sunday school program. Pastor, I think we ought to try that. What do you think? Ponies, right? Let's get ponies to get the children's program really going. But he did what he needed to do. And this was during the 1800s. And he did so much. If you read his biography, he did so much with only a fifth grade education. A fifth grade education. And I know everybody here, you know, and we can just do so many great things. Moody quoted to saying that if you can really make a man believe that you love him, you won him. Now, I am really talking about true concern for somebody. I don't say to do this just to try to put on face. I say it to do it as who you are, but build those relationships. This moves us to the discipleship and comes from, I lost my place, I apologize. Then we see here as far as this moves us to discipleship from the young and new Christians and being humble enough to learn, listen, and pray. Then it moves to a seasoned disciple where you have shared experiences, you teach, you minister to, you pray, but even the elderly in the same way. They have a lifelong time of wisdom to teach us and to share experiences and to minister to and pray. And notice all those involve prayer. Know that the actions of the words of all work together and separately. Sometimes you are blessed to see the results. Sometimes you're blessed to see the results of what happens, but sometimes you're not. It's kind of like I always refer to the rock going into the water. You hear it splash and you see that initial response, but you have no idea where those ripples go out to. It just goes on and on and on and on, and you never know what shore it lands on. And sometimes you do have the genuine chance of seeing the results after a length of time. Now, I didn't tell her, but I'm going to put her on the spot because I love her. She's my sister, and that's Tammy. When I first met Tammy, I didn't even want to be in the same room as Tammy. I'm just being honest. I'm being honest. And I said to Sandy, I said, who is that? And I was like, wow, it was just a bad thing going on there. But in time, and this is to give praise to the Lord, how he has worked in her heart of what I've seen in the last number of years. We wouldn't be at Faith Church if it wasn't for Tammy Schaefer. Tammy Schaefer brought us to Faith Church. Thank goodness. You know, it's a home of a home of a home for us now. And Tammy Schaefer is just trying to keep it short because I could talk for maybe, I could probably give a sermon on Tammy Schaefer. But I say, she sat with me before my first surgery, and she read scripture to me. If you would have asked that, I never saw that 20 plus years ago. Never saw that coming, ever. And there she was reading scripture to me, by my side, by my wife's side, through this whole thing this last year, riding us down to Philly, riding to Hershey, staying all day. You know, there's more stories I could tell you, but we don't want to get into those stories. But it's a work. It's a work of discipleship that I've seen in Tammy Schaefer. She's now back in our sound booth. You know, would have never saw that 20 plus years ago. And so I've had the joy and the blessing of seeing those results after many years. And these roles were established first by our baptism, which we see in Scripture. And it's a baptism of water, repentance. Then it's a baptized by the Spirit for the redemption and the restoration in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, as we see written. This is the authority in Jesus Christ. All things through him, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Baptism unites us believers with Jesus Christ in their death to sin and their resurrection into a new life. Baptism symbolizes the submission to Christ, the willingness to live God's way, and the identification with God's covenant people. My principle in this third division, I promise I will go through the third division very quickly. This principle is Jesus Christ has authority over all things. Jesus Christ has authority over all things. So how do we truly respond to this authority is our application. And after we hear how this can be done by general conversation and actions, and you are in part, after hearing this, you can be, by general conversation and actions, you are empowered by the authority of all to do and feel moved towards things. Acts 1:8 states, you will receive power. Just share your story with Christ with honesty and humility and gratitude, grace, love, and then watch God work. Too many times we think it is us. We are just the vessels. 2 Corinthians 12:9, may grace is sufficient to you, for the power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all of the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. Understand, some will reject, some will never move too far, and then others will come right by your side. Moving on to our last statement, and this is the assurance of Christ, and this is verse 20, our third division. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Teaching them everything, a lot there. Basically, it's unconditional love. And I would challenge any unbeliever this challenge. Now, again, I wouldn't necessarily go right at somebody to build a relationship with this question. But I would challenge anyone to show me that anything that Jesus professes that would bring them harm or destruction in their lives if they obeyed it. Think about that. What is there that God, Jesus Christ, states that would bring us harm if we followed or obeyed it? There's nothing. There's nothing. But then, can you think of, so to follow then in obedience, it has to be forced or followed by trusting or having faith. Well, if God wanted us to force us, he would have created us that way. But he created us with having free will. So our choices in life have purpose, value, and meaning. Understand that. That's where free will comes from. There's a clip in a movie, Star Trek Next Generation. It was a transition film from the Kirk series into the New Generation series. And there's a part of where they went back into this time zone thing. And it wound up, they could be, it was a place where everything that they ever wanted, they would have. It was a perfect place to be. And both Kirk and Picard were there, and they're riding on horses, and Kirk jumps over this gully. He's back at his old ranch, and he's just loving life and retirement in this perfect place. He jumps over it, and he stops, and he looks at Picard, and he's like, "What's the matter?" And he was like, "I never jumped that before. I never made that jump before." And it lost meaning because it was made perfect for him. There was no struggle. There was no value put behind it. The free will, the free choice, all those things weren't there. It was all made perfect for him. And it lost its sense of value. And it kind of puts things in perspective. It's because we make a choice. We give value to the choices that we made by making that choice. And it puts everything into place. By choice, we came into sin, and by choice, we are in Christ, and we are freed from sin. So obedience needs to be taught by the teacher, but they need to be consistent in their obedience, or it holds no weight. To know Jesus, God in human form, he chose to come to earth for us to endure everything in life, but he stayed obedient to God. Even in times of doubt or wavering, he still put his will towards God. "Let your will be done," as he sat in the garden. A teacher himself, obviously, to be the authority over all things that one day every knee will bow to know that he is with us always to the very end of the age, is surely all we need and all the confidence we need to be able to follow in obedience the best we can, and then to have a yearning to tell our loved ones and a desire to tell the world. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Blessed be his name. Jesus is with us at all times and all places. That is our principle. And our application is, how do we respond knowing all this? Knowing Jesus is with us always. What a confidence booster to know that the Lord is with you each and every way. I felt this past year. I'm sure you guys have felt it many times in your life. The reassurance that Christ is with us in every place and every time, and that he has authority over all. Jesus is always there. We just have to extend a hand or bend that knee, and he will reveal himself to you through a genuine heart. Go share it with the world, my friends. It's a great calling. It's a great commission given to us. And there's many blessings found upon bringing others to disciples in Christ. Amen. Join me in a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you to know, first, with our open heart, we come with our feelings of inadequacy, doubts, fears, sins, maybe something we haven't released to you yet. Open us first to forgive our sins and faults, but then use us, guide us, and lead us to whom you are crying out to. Maybe that call is to us personally first. If so, direct us to a Christian mentor to help us to become a more obedient disciple in order to disciple others to your care and your loving arms. Help us, Father, as disciples then, to reach others around us in our daily lives, in our walk.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.